My name's Carol, I'm an addict. This is really a bit spooky being here. I haven't kind of thought about what I'm going to say, so I'm just having faith that words are going to come out. It's really unnatural for me to be here, and I guess a lot about recovery feels a bit unnatural. And I keep finding myself in places and thinking, what am I doing here? But the feeling is that it's the right place to be and it's the right thing to do. But I guess I feel like I don't know the right things to say, and I kind of suspect that there are right things to say, and I haven't learnt them. I haven't got them down pat. No, I had an experience this week. I'm training to work in the field, and so I'm learning all about addiction from that kind of theoretical point of view, as well as coming to NA meetings. And one of the women I worked with, a client was going to give a talk to some medical students about their experiences, and let her down at the last minute. She asked me to do it, and I kind of walked in there, and I didn't know what I was supposed to say. You know, am I supposed to sort of spout, you know, the philosophy of the organisation, or NA, or the things that I think about? And this confuses me. I just did my little talk and whatever. But I think that's kind of part of what's always been wrong with me. Not knowing the right thing and trying to find out what the right thing was, what's going to be acceptable to people. So I don't get into trouble. So finding myself in this situation, sitting in front of lots of people, and I want to please everyone, and you know, I know at the end everyone applauds. Yeah, so I want to earn the applause, I guess. But anyway, I'll just get on with it. I used for a long time, starting like a lot of people I hear, when I was about 13. And I used until 2 years ago when I was 47. I tried to stop for 3 years before that. When I was younger, I stopped a few times for a couple of years without a program, and got a little bit of success, got my life together a bit. But I had no notion of abstinence, and I had no notion that I needed to change either. I'd kind of felt like, well, I've grown up, and, you know, I set myself. I mean, I can remember some of thinking things when I was 16 or 20 and just deciding, well, that's how I'm going to stay. This is what I think. This is how things are. This is how I'm going to stay. And it took me a long time to get over that. And I caused myself a lot of pain because the things I'd decide to do would almost be on a whim. But once I'd... And usually it was things that were quite scary for me, like deciding to be a drug addict. And I did kind of make a decision about that. I thought, oh, that's a really scary thing to do, I'll do it. Deciding to be a prostitute, you know, the same. I can't say that I accidentally became like that, because that's not true. I kind of, even when I was really young, when I first heard about drugs, it excited me. I grew up like on the outskirts of Sydney, and it was the early 70s, and there weren't a lot of drugs around. So I kind of went looking for them, and anyone who mentioned any connection, I wanted to be their friend. I suppose, you know, when I was really young, you know, a few things happened, like things connected with trauma and loss and rejection, and that kind of, and I think we have that in common. I hear that a lot from people, you know, that there are things that happened that taught us to deal with life in the wrong way, I guess. So I developed a passion for drugs. I loved them. I liked taking lots, and I liked taking them in different combinations, experimenting and travelling, and I guess in some way they must have kept working for me, or I wouldn't have kept taking them for so long. I think I started having a problem with drugs when I decided I didn't want to take them anymore. And I thought that would be okay. I'd been on methadone for 12 years while my son was growing up, and I got a bit of stability from that. I never kind of exactly stuck to my script, but it was okay. When I decided to stop, well, my detox kind of involved quite a lot of crack, so I was taking less and less methadone, and just, I don't know, maybe I needed to get a real problem before I could stop myself using. So anyway, I did stop, and I couldn't stay stopped, and I think that was the most kind of devastating time in my life. When I realised that I was powerless, that the things that I'd done, the choices that I made, had got me in this place where I didn't have a choice about what I was doing. And I think that's a position I'd always avoided looking at, and really denied. I was always interested in everything, you know, like I read a lot and wanted to know about things, but the things I didn't want to know about was anything spiritual or anything psychological, because that kind of implied that I wasn't in control of myself, that things that had happened to me in the past were having an effect on me in the present, and I just refused to even consider that was the truth. And I was ashamed of the child that I'd been. I was kind of ashamed of being powerless and being abused. You know, and that's something that's changed in recovery. It took me a long time to kind of own that part of me. And I kind of hated that part of me. I developed a protection that just kept me away from the world, kept me away from people, defended me from danger, but also defended me from any of the good things in life, you know, connection with people, intimacies. If ever I got in relationships, it was by accident. And as soon as I was in it, I'd be thinking of ways to get out of it, and kind of dreading the end of it, you know, the unpleasant feelings of moving away from someone. And always expecting that it would end, never really having any expectation that there was such a thing as a successful relationship. I had a son. I was clean when my son was born, well, cleanish. I was using, but didn't have a habit. I was still breastfeeding him when I got a habit again, and I, you know, I think when I stopped then, that he was clucking, and that's something that I couldn't look at for a long time as well. And I think I had, all my life I've kind of been saving up these shameful kind of things, and that made it impossible to stop using. And since I've been in recovery, I've been able to look at them, and it's like the inside of me has changed, and that's made the world outside change as well. I used to kind of have some monsters inside me that punished me, as well as keeping people at distance. And working these 12 steps has really changed that, you know. And it sounds weird, it's kind of personal, but it's like I've got a family inside now that's kind of loving and supportive, and I see myself as I am, you know, quite arrogant, quite kind of a bit reckless, a bit thoughtless, but I also see myself as kind of lovable and doing my best, really. And I'm doing my best, and for the first time that's good enough for me. Okay, 5 minutes. So how I got, this isn't what I expected to talk about at all. yeah, so it took me 3 years kind of tormenting myself until I got clean, and then I went to treatment. But I finally got out, spent 9 months in treatment. It wasn't a 12-step program. It was a kind of concept-based therapeutic community, and it was a real eye-opener, you know, just starting to see myself and also seeing that there were other people like me. And that was kind of a shock, because I thought I was one of a kind. And getting out of treatment was scary as well, and brought me to NA. Not because I really wanted to come here, because I thought it sounded pretty, you know, out there, and I didn't want a God in my life. I still wanted to be able to control everything for myself. But I knew I couldn't, you know. I'd got that honest enough with myself just to know that I couldn't cope. And I started coming to meetings. That was when changes really started. I think being honest with my sponsor, my step four, was like the real transition, that there is a person in the world who knows all the shameful things about me. The miracle is that I don't have to be ashamed anymore of those things, and she still loves me. And I think it's the first time I've trusted someone enough to expose myself, and it's such a relief kind of not to be alone in the world anymore. I think while I was using that's what I was. I was alone. And now I'm not. I mean, I kept myself alone, and now I don't have to. I'm really grateful to NA, and I think, I know that's kind of one of those things that I'm supposed to say, but it's also really true. And, you know, when I get up in the mornings, I mean, before I got clean for quite a long time, when I got up in the mornings, my first thought when I woke up was, oh no, you know, why do I have to be awake? Why do I have to be alive even? And some mornings I can still wake up and not feel great, but I never think that anymore. And if I do wake up with, you know, something not fabulous, I kind of got this program, this way to make myself feel better. You know, I do some simple things. I read the Just for Today book. I write a gratitude list, and I just get on with my day. And I'm kind of delighted with myself. I'm delighted with myself for being here and doing this as well, because that's just not the sort of thing I would do. Anyway, so thanks, Ross, for asking me, and thanks, everyone, for being here. I'll leave it there.